Here with us right now in the studio, we're pleased to have Jim McGowan. Jim is the Midwest State Advocacy Director for the American Diabetes Association. He is also up in this part of the world to play some music tomorrow night at the Cascade Pub. Welcome to the Roadhouse. Nice to have you here.
Thanks very much.
I think this is your first time at the Roadhouse.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
That's great. Nice to have you here. But you said it's not your first time playing up here. You've been kind of a regular at the Cascade.
Yeah, I've gotten to know the O'Phalons pretty well over there, and they've invited me up on a lot of occasions. This is probably my fifth time, I think, since May.
Oh, great.
So got another one on October 13th, and hopefully set up a few more after that.
By the way, let me wish your mother a belated 75th birthday.
Thanks. We had a great celebration.
Had a big celebration her last night at Shamrocks, eh?
We did, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We had a lot of fun. Music and just a great family celebration of a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Good deal. Let's talk a little bit first about your role with the American Diabetes Association.
Sure.
As I was mentioning to Buck on the air before you came into the studio, Is diabetes more prevalent now, or do we just hear about it more from people? It just seems like more and more people that are running to have diabetes.
Yeah, it is more prevalent. At this point, it's even past epidemic stage. We've got in this country about 26 million people with diabetes. And if you contrast that with just a few years ago, when I first got involved with this probably about 23 years ago, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, so I got involved as a volunteer.
Uh-huh.
And I remember a lot that the number we used back then was about 6.5 million.
Really?
And so it's really exponential. It's just going off the charts. And we've got about 79 million people with pre-diabetes, meaning that they're moving in that direction as well. So it's already, like I said, at epidemic rates, but we've got a looming issue out there if we don't address it pretty quickly.
And what is the cause of such, to use your word, exponential increase in the rate of diabetes in people?
The main reason is, and you can see it just looking around, people are heavier. We have a much more sedentary lifestyle as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
and our eating habits, we have easy access to foods that contribute to weight gain. And so obesity is the main driver for type 2 diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2 and gestational and others, but type 2 is the real epidemic, and obesity and sedentary lifestyle is the main driver.
For those that don't know, and I guess I am pretty cloudy on that as well,
mm-hmm.
What is the difference, Jim, between type 1 and type 2 diabetes?
Well, type 1 diabetes, like my son has, he got it as a 3-year-old, is they used to call it juvenile diabetes, and typically people get it when they're younger. It's an the main theory is that it's an autoimmune disease where your body basically attacks the cells that create insulin in your pancreas, the islet cells, kills them off, and then you basically have a lifetime then of insulin injections in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, type 2 diabetes is a little bit different in that insulin resistance is the main problem. Your body is still making insulin, but the cells that uptake insulin and use it to basically, insulin is kind of like a key. If you think of it as a key, that it opens up the cells and allows glucose to enter to be able to be burned as energy or stored as fat. Well, in type 2 diabetes, the insulin resistance prevents proper utilization of that insulin, and so people end up in a high blood sugar state. And type 2 is about 90% of all diabetes.
How much of diabetes, I want to remind our listeners visiting with Jim McGowan, who is the Midwest State Advocacy Director, how much of diabetes is hereditary, genetic?
Well, there is a genetic aspect to it. It isn't fully understood because it's erratic in how it applies, through a family line.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain genetic predispositions that are out there. So if your parents have diabetes or if a sibling has diabetes, you have a higher risk. It is one of the risk factors. There are certain populations that are hit at a much higher rate: African Americans, Native Americans, Asian Pacifics. There's a tribe in Pima, Arizona, that has about a 50% incidence of type 2 diabetes.
Hmm.
So they get hit at a much higher rate.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular reason that you know of why that would be for they seem to be populations of color?
Right. There's a lot of theories about that, and I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physician, so I'm not as articulate on that particular piece. But there are a lot of theories out. Some of it having to do with the westernized diet impacting those populations at a little bit different way.
Sure. So our lifestyle, our eating habits, our lack of exercise or movement obviously has led to this epidemic of diabetes. Mm-hmm. Is it something that once it comes on, can it be reversed by adopting a more healthy lifestyle?
You can certainly delay some of the issues that come with diabetes. The complications of diabetes can be horrible and can include heart disease, kidney disease, blindness, lower limb amputations. And so you can do a lot post-diagnosis to try to minimize those complications through a healthier lifestyle, mm-hmm. proper utilization of medications. More importantly, I should say that once you have the diagnosis, you always have the diagnosis. Okay. There's no going back from that, but some people can get to the point where they may be able to get off medicine even. Uh-huh. The big opportunity really, though, is in primary prevention. I talked before about those 79 million people who have prediabetes. Mm-hmm. We have a real opportunity there. There's a not-so-recent study, actually, called the Diabetes Prevention Program, where they took people with prediabetes, put them through a 16-week intervention, which basically got them to walk the equivalent of 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and then make a modest change in their eating habits. And 58% of those folks never went on to get type 2 diabetes, as we would have expected. And for seniors, the number was even better, was 71%.
Now, how would a person know if they're pre-diabetes?
The best way is with regular screening, especially as we get older. Uh-huh. It's very important to talk to your doctor and make sure that they're screening for high blood glucose. That's the best way. There are certain signs, feeling kind of fatigued, maybe blurry vision, frequent urination. Those are all signs that your blood glucose might be elevating.
They also go with older age. I hate to tell you this, but I got all three.
Well, and that's oftentimes why it's missed. People attribute it to just, that's the way it goes. And
yep.
It's not uncommon for someone to find out that they've had diabetes for maybe up to 10 years.
No kidding.
And the way they find out
is that it's been untreated?
That's been untreated, and there are numerous stories of people who go in with their first heart attack caused by diabetes, and they find out at the same time that's why.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yeah, so it's very important to get screened early,
Well, as we get older, it's probably pretty important to have annual checkups anyway. And right. If you're doing that, they would probably be screening for.
They should be.
And I know here locally, our local clinic. I think it's a couple, three times a year, mm-hmm. does diabetes screenings.
Right.
I think, Doc, they do it down at your store from time to time.
From time to time, yes.
Yeah. So. Well, it's real important to take advantage of things like that, but especially have a good relationship with your doctor.
Sure.
And just keep talking about it and make sure.
Well, let's shift gears just for a second because you're up here to perform as well. How long have you been involved with music?
Well, I've been playing guitar since I was about 8 years old, but it's never been my day job. Still isn't. I do it mainly for my own enjoyment, and played a lot in college, and then since then it was just kind of at home and maybe a wedding or two here or there. But a couple of years ago, we were actually up on the North Shore. We had been in Duluth to hear John Prine play,
mm-hmm.
and afterwards came up, and we ended up at Cascade Lodge one evening listening to Joe Pollock.
Oh, yeah,
and,
sure.
Afterwards, I just went up to talk to him, and I was telling him about this new guitar that I had gotten, and it's kind of distinctive, and he said, boy, I'd like to see that. And I said, well, it's out in the car. So I went and got it and brought it in, and we talked about it, and then afterwards he said, well, while I'm tearing down, why don't you play a couple? So I did, and, well, one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, I bought a PA, and I'm playing it.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The O'Phalans, got to know the O'Phalans, and they invited me to come up.
And other than a few weddings and so forth, that's your first time really playing for an audience.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up, my dad was a Lutheran pastor, so I played a lot in church. It's not like I was unfamiliar with being in front of folks, but
right.
I just hadn't done it.
First time for pay. Maybe.
Well, like I said, I'm keeping my day job. So, but I'm having a great time with it and playing a little bit, you know, mostly up here, but also I've played down in Mankato a couple times. Oh, okay. And coffee shops in the Twin Cities area.
So. Well, maybe we could give folks an idea of what we're talking about or what Sure. You're talking about. And now, let's have a song and then I'll ask you what I was going to ask you about your guitar.
Okay. All right. Well, the song that I'm going to play is it actually ties to my work a little bit. We do an event in Washington, D.C. every other year called Call to Congress, where we invite about 250 volunteers from all over the country to come, and we train them and then send them up to the Capitol with our message. And they asked, the ADA asked me last time if I would make a little video of the day, just a kind of a memento that we'd play the next morning for the crowd before they left home. And they said, just put a song behind it. And I said, well, you can't just use somebody's song. There's that copyright thing. And our slogan as an organization is Stop Diabetes. And so for whatever reason, this idea of the Stop Diabetes Blues popped into my head.
Okay.
So here it is. Well, we come from all over, we got something to say. We're gonna keep working till we find a way to stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. We got mamas and papas, grandpas and grams, sisters and brothers gonna help each other to stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. We're working to stop type 1 and type 2. And those at risk, we're gonna fight it with you. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. Hey there, Senator, Representative 2. You and the Prez, you got to do what you do to stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. Is what we do. What we want is a cure of that, there's no doubt. Make it go away, it's what we're talking about. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. We got a mission to prevent and to cure, to improve all lives. Well, that's for sure if you stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. We're gonna share our stories, act real sure. Learn from each other, give ourselves that cure. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. It's what we do. Diabetes, stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. We're gonna stop diabetes. That's what we do.
Jim McGowan here on the Roadhouse with the Stop Diabetes Blues. Now, is that part of your when you do a gig like the Cascade, is that part of your set?
It was one time, and I'll tell you, I came up here, I guess it was earlier this year, and got up in the morning and turned on WTIP early on a Saturday morning,
uh-huh.
And it was right in the middle of the Stop Diabetes Blues, and I thought, where'd that come from? Well, whoever was doing that show found it on YouTube
and
played it. And so that night I was playing in the pub. It isn't usually pub fare.
I was going to say, you get a lot of requests.
Well, but that night I did my 2 hours. And afterwards, there was a couple right up in front. And they said, you know, we were here all night and we didn't hear you play the blues. So I fired up my PA and did it. And people were dancing and singing. And I don't know, maybe I should do it more. But it's
Given what you do for a living, it is a nice combination. And
yeah.
It's always kind of interesting, I think, how we're able to reach people and sometimes ways that we don't think about. And that's certainly one way that you could be.
It's true. I've had a lot of fun with it. And what's neat about it is that, you know, we have markets all over the country,
sure,
the offices, and they're using this song at their walks for diabetes and some of their events. And so it's been kind of a fun little mix. And
now, what's special about your guitar?
Well, this
I see it's a Martin.
It is a Martin. It's the... this is the 30th anniversary of the D35, and I'd been wanting a Martin for years, actually since I was in college, and I was on my way in college to buy my first ever Martin, and borrowed some money from my brother, and I ended up buying a diamond ring on the way instead. And so the joke for a lot of years was that my wife, Maren, owed me a Martin guitar.
And she was wearing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, and it actually happened that I got this guitar from my neighbor, Mark, and he knew that I wanted one. He had a collection, and he offered this to me. And like I said, it's the 30th anniversary, and I actually purchased it on our 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's distinctive in more ways than one, but it's got some very interesting stylings. And
All works together.
It does, yeah, yeah.
We've been visiting with Jim McGowan. Jim is, among other things, the Midwest State Advocacy Director for the American Diabetes Association. And by the way, if you want to learn more about what they do, just go to www.diabetes.org. He is also a very accomplished musician, obviously, singer. And are you a song? Well, obviously you're a songwriter. You wrote that one.
I'm a one-hit wonder. But I'm working on it.
And we'll be appearing tomorrow night at Cascade Pub at the Cascade Resort.
Yep, 7:30.
7:30.
Yep.
And you can catch him there. Also, if you'd like to know a little bit more about Jim, he's got a website. Give us that website.
Sure. My performance website is mcgowan.mn. So it's mcgowan.mn, like Minnesota.
Great. So. Well, we want to thank you so much for taking time to come over and visit with us this evening, stop in at the Roadhouse.
Next time,
I know you're going to be back in October. Maybe we can get you on and even do a few more.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Write another song about diabetes in between or something.
Well, I have other songs that I do too, so
great.
Happy to do that.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah.